All right, well, the rest of us, we will get in our Bibles this morning, Acts chapter 1. If you wouldn't mind to take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1, and we will start right at the very beginning of the book of Acts. As many of you know, we're typically on Sunday mornings going through the book of Luke, and if you find your place, wouldn't mind to stand, that'd be a blessing. We've been preaching through the book of Luke, but have taken a little bit of a hiatus this morning to take a moment and consider this great passage, Acts chapter 1, 1 through 11. And that'll be really the passage we consider throughout the month. And so I encourage you to be here as often as possible. Today we're going to give an overview of these verses and really flesh it out throughout the course of our missions month. But Acts chapter 1 says this: "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." That word "began" is very important. Jesus began to do and teach while he was on this earth. Now verse 2, "until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive, after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons." If you're here for Sunday school, that phrase sounds familiar. The times or the seasons, talking about the end times and the day of the Lord. It's not for you to know when that's going to happen, which the Father hath put in his own power. But here's what you should do. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So this morning, we'll preach a message really kicking off this month with this thought: continuing steadfastly what Jesus began until he comes back. We're to carry on his work until he comes back. We'll explain what that means here in just a moment. Let's pray. We'll get right into his word. Lord, thank you so much for letting us be here this morning. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for the guests that have joined us as well. We're humbled. We're thankful for it. And God, I pray that you would bless now as we get into your word. Help me as I declare it. Help it to be more clear and easily understandable. And God, I pray that you would do a work that only you can do in the hearts of men this morning. Help us to see what you called us to as a church family. Help us to see what you've done, Lord, for all men. And Lord, that if there's one here this morning that has not accepted you as their Savior, that has not had their sins forgiven, that they would see their need for that today. We love you in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. And so Jesus' work of atonement is finished. Amen. Jesus has done it all. Jesus came to accomplish the will of his Father, and which that will was to die and to pay for the sins of mankind. And just before he died, if you remember in John, just before he died on the cross, just before he gave up the ghost, he said these words: "It is finished. It's done. It's finished. There is no work that needs to be done to pay for the sins of man." Jesus did it all. He paid the total price for sin. You don't have to do any works. In fact, you cannot do any works to pay for your own sins. Ephesians makes it very clear: "For it is by grace through faith we are saved, not of works." It is not of works, lest any man should boast. There is nothing you can add to your salvation. Jesus paid it all. All we do is call out on Christ. Amen? We repent of our sin. We ask God to forgive us. And based upon what Jesus did on the cross, your sins can be forgiven. Baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. Communion has nothing to do with your salvation. Doing good works, nothing you do can affect your forgiveness of sins. That's all been done on the cross. It was finished there. Now, it's good to be baptized. That's what we do after we're saved. It's good to take the Lord's table, communion. We do that twice a year as a church family. It's good to do good works because the next verse says, "For we were created unto his workmanship." And so we were saved. And now, after we're saved, because of our salvation, we work for God. But we don't work for God in order to be saved, you see. That work is finished. The work of atonement is finished. The work of forgiveness of sins is done. And so while Jesus was on this earth, his work of atonement was finished, but his work to reach the world had just begun. It had just begun. Look again at verse 1 of our passage. It says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus." Now, who's talking here is Luke. Luke wrote the book of Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. And so the former treatise, the former book, the former work that he wrote to Theophilus was the book of Luke. And that's what we're going through on Sunday mornings, usually. That's the book that God has us in as a church. So Luke says, "That former treatise have I made, O Theophilus." And here's what Luke is all about. Luke is of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. To do and teach. So Luke said that's what that former treatise was all about. Now we know that Jesus did finish the work of the Father in dying for the sins of man. We know that that work is done. We're not continuing on that work. But Jesus also began a different work, didn't he? He accomplished the work of atonement, but when he was on this earth, he started a brand new work that he never intended to finish while he was on this earth. And that work is spreading the gospel throughout the world. Spreading the gospel throughout the world. And the way that Jesus intends for that work, which he began, to be continued is through the local church, through local churches being spread and started throughout the world. Throughout the world. That's what Jesus did at the end of Luke and at the end of Matthew, the Great Commission. Jesus says, "I'm going to go, I'm going to head back to the Father, but until I come back, church, I want you to continue what I started, and I want you to spread that throughout the entire world." And his plan to carry out the gospel has always been through the local church. Now, it's not like Jesus started this work and told the churches to do it and then left. Not at all. Jesus is still at work, isn't he? And he is at work how? Well, he is the head of what? The church. He is the head of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, right? He's the authority. I said earlier, we're an independent Baptist church on purpose because the authority of this church is no hierarchy. The authority of this church is Christ himself. He's the head of the church, and then I'm the pastor, I'm the under-shepherd, but this isn't my church either. This is his church that he's called me to shepherd under his authority, and so really, Jesus is still at work bodily, just not his own body, it's through the body of Christ, which is the local independent church right here, Valley Avenue Baptist Church, is Jesus' work here in Falls City. He's working that way, isn't he? He works through the local church, and he commissioned the local church to do his work until he comes back. And so the book of Luke tells about what Jesus began, and the book of Acts, Luke says, it tells about the Acts of the Apostles. That's what your Bible says, right? The Acts of the Apostles, and some people want to change that and say, no, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit, or it's the Acts of whatever. No, it's the Acts of the Apostles, as they are continuing what Jesus began. That's what the book of Acts is all about. The book of Acts tells how that first church that Jesus started, that church at Jerusalem, it was empowered with the Holy Spirit at Jerusalem, and then it spread churches throughout the world. That's what the book of Acts is all about. In fact, the outline of the book of Acts is found in verse 8. If you look in verse 8 of our passage, Jesus says this, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth." And so the book of Acts, this is an outline of the entire book. The book of Acts begins in chapter 1 and 2 telling about how that the Holy Spirit did come. We'll say a little bit more about that today, and we'll spend an entire sermon about how that all works later. But the Holy Spirit came and empowered that church, and immediately after they received the Holy Spirit, they received power and they became witnesses, right? They received the Holy Spirit, they were empowered, and they immediately became witnesses. Now, they began witnessing in Jerusalem, and they were reaching their Jerusalem, and then throughout all Judea. Judea is the province that Jerusalem is the city of. And then they went to Samaria, and then they went to the uttermost parts of the earth when Paul brings the gospel all the way to the city of Rome at the end of Acts. And so to show you that, if you have your Bibles handy, we're going to do a quick run through of the book of Acts and kind of show you how that went. So chapters 1 through verse, chapter 6 through 7, 6 verse 7, if you would turn to Acts 6 verse 7. So that first part of Acts, from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 6 and verse 7, it tells of the gospel being spread in Jerusalem. It tells about the Holy Spirit empowering the church. It tells about how they reached Jerusalem with the gospel. Acts 6 verse 7 says this, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem." See that? Greatly. "And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." That's a blessing. God was reaching even the Jewish priests with the gospel. Praise the Lord for that. And then from chapter 6, verse 8 through 9, verse 31, if you would turn there, chapter 9 through 31, that section shows how that the gospel and local churches, by the way, how is the gospel spread? It's through local churches being spread. That's how it works. That's why we get involved in missions at all, because we want churches to spread throughout the world. And so the gospel and local churches were being spread from Jerusalem and then into all Judea, and which is, again, that's the province. Jerusalem is the capital of the province of Judea. So they've expanded from Jerusalem into all of that province of Judea, and then even into Samaria. And Acts 9:31 says this, "Then had the what? Churches." You see that? That's how God spreads the gospel. The churches had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. You see that? The churches had made it through all of Judea, through Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. The churches can continue to just multiply. This is God's plan. This is God's plan to send churches throughout the world and then through the work of his churches spread the gospel. So then the next section, if you would turn to Acts 16:5, verses 9:32 through chapter 16, verse 5, tell about the conversion of the Apostle Paul. And when that happened, the churches just began to explode, and God used the Apostle Paul in a great way. And the gospel and local churches began to spread throughout Asia Minor. It spread all throughout Asia Minor. And that section closes in verse 5 of chapter 16. "And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily." Not necessarily number of people in one church, although that's part of it. Primarily what he's talking about is churches were spread. They increased. The amount of churches increased daily. They were involved with planting new churches and spreading the gospel through the local churches throughout even Asia Minor here. And then from verses 16:6 all the way through chapter 19, verse 20, if you would turn there. Acts 19, verse 20. That section tells about how churches spread even further into great Gentile cities like Ephesus and Corinth. And so that talks all about that process in that section, which closes with Acts 19, verse 20, which says, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." How does the word of God grow? How does it prevail? Through churches being started and established and reaching their local city and area. That's how it works, right? This is how it works. This is God's plan. This is God's program. And then from 1921 to the end of the book, it tells about Paul's arrival at Rome. Now, the way Paul got to Rome wasn't necessarily the way maybe he wanted to get to Rome, but he was brought to Rome through prison. He was transferred to the Roman prison, but while he was there, he was still preaching the word. And he was reaching people. He was reaching guards. He was reaching other officials in the prison. But he reached Rome. And then he was actually able to be, in a sense, in house arrest. And you can just know that he was involved with planting churches there in Rome also. Look at the last verse of Acts where it says that Paul was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And so for those last 2 years of his sentence, he was able to be there at his house and preaching the gospel in Rome. And so the gospel made it all the way to the ends of the world in that time, right? Rome, the Roman Empire being the known world. And we know that the gospel went from Rome to the rest of Europe eventually. And then it went from Europe and made its way to America. And then to Nebraska. And eventually, in 1891, the gospel made it all the way to Falls City, Nebraska, when the First Baptist Church of Falls City was born, 1891, April 7th, 1891, which is now known as Valley Avenue Baptist Church, same exact church. This is the plan of God. This is His plan to reach the world. I'm thankful for radio stations and TV things and online classes, all of that. But God's primary plan to reach the world is through the ministries of local churches. That's His plan. And you cannot be involved with God's plan to reach the world without in some way being involved with the local church. It's His plan. It's His plan for everybody. It's God's plan. If you're wondering, man, what is God's will for my life? Well, here's God's will for your life. First is to receive Christ as your Savior. If you're here this morning and if you've never been saved, if your sins have not been forgiven, God's will for your life is to accept His payment on the cross so that your sins can be forgiven, so that you can spend eternity with Him. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will for your life. And if you've been saved, God's will then is for you to be baptized and join a local church family and serve Him in that local church. That's God's will for your life. Why? That's the plan. This is the plan given to us in Scripture. Local churches reaching our area and then being involved with spreading churches to other areas. This is the plan. Spreading the gospel throughout the world. And so Jesus has called His churches to continue what He started. He started that very first church. The very first church was Jesus and His apostles. And then we know that added to them, by the time Acts came around, was 120. So that first church was Jesus and those 120 in that upper room. That was the first church. And Jesus says, you take what I've started and you take it throughout the world. That's what God has called us to do. And again, like I said, we're going to take several sermons to really unpack all of this, all of these verses. But today we're going to just give a brief overview of those verses. And so, after Jesus rose from the dead, He ascended into heaven, right? And 40 days after His death, he went back to the Father. And during that time, during those 40 days, here's what Jesus did. He taught His disciples. He taught the 12. He taught them what they would need to do, what they would need to continue to do and continue to teach throughout the world. Look at verse 2 and 3. Until the day in which He was taken up, after that, He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so Jesus gathered the 12 for those 40 days, and He just was intensely teaching them the message that they were to take throughout the world. Now, He had already proven to them He was alive. We went through that in the end of Luke. We'll get to that later. But you remember how Thomas put his hands in his side and felt the marks and they saw him bodily. He had already, Luke said, proven that he had died and resurrected and proven the gospel to them. The gospel is this, that Jesus came, he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. So he had proven to them the gospel. And then for 40 days, he was speaking to them the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This is what he did. For 40 days, he taught them. Why? Because it was important that they knew and they understood the message. Because it would be them who that would have the authority to teach that message to the world and to give that message to the churches. And that message that Jesus taught to the apostles, they would take that message and they would teach it and they would write it down and it would eventually become what we have as our New Testament. The New Testament is the apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine. An apostle is someone who is sent with a message. And so those 12 were specifically given special authority to declare the New Testament to the churches. There's no more apostles today. The apostles ended after those men died. Those 12 were given specific authority to give us the New Testament, and they did. And now we take the message of the gospel, we take the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we take the Word of God, and now we're commissioned to spread that message throughout the world. You see? That's what Jesus did for those 40 days, and then he told them to take it throughout the world. Now, if we're going to take this message, if these 12, and really the first church, that 120 or so, if they were going to take that message, and they were going to take it throughout the whole world, that's a big task, isn't it? That's a big task. These men, most of them were fishermen. They weren't priests. They weren't Pharisees or Sadducees. They weren't studied in the law since birth like they were. These were just ordinary men that Jesus called, that he taught, and then gave them the responsibility to reach the entire world. And if they were going to do that, they would need some help. They would need some help. And so Jesus said, you wait in Jerusalem, I'll send you help. Look at verse number four. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he hath heard of me. So Jesus says, I want you to reach the world, but just hold on for a second. Wait there in Jerusalem, because the promise of the Father is coming. Now, what's the promise of the Father? Verse 5 tells us. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus promised them that. He said the Comforter will come, and he will indwell you. At this point, the Holy Spirit didn't indwell the hearts of men. At this point, he would empower people. Remember David, when the Holy Spirit came upon David and empowered him for specific tasks along the way. Samson was empowered by the Holy Ghost when he was fighting the lion and he was fighting the Philistines. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and it really until Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit would just come upon and help man. But Jesus says, you wait in Jerusalem because not many days hence, the Holy Spirit will come and he will begin to live in man, to live in man. And so that's what happened in Acts 2. And after that, the Holy Spirit would come upon the Jews in Acts 2. I believe in Acts 8, the Holy Spirit came upon the Samaritans. And I believe in Acts 10, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in the Gentiles. And so now, anyone who's saved, the moment you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. Now, we're going to say a lot more about that in future sermons. But if you look at Romans 8 and 9, or just listen close, it says this. Paul says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So Paul said, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And he says, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. By the time Paul wrote the book of Romans, the Holy Spirit had indwelt every believer. And Paul said this, if you do not have the Holy Spirit living in you, then you're not Christ's at all. You're not saved. So what that means is, the moment you're saved, The Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. We don't do things to ask the Holy Spirit to come in us. Spirit baptism is not something that is different from the day you're saved. There are churches out there that preach that and teach that. It's just unbiblical. The moment you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you and empowers you from the very beginning. And you're not going to get more of Him or less of Him. He is a person. He's not a force. He'll come and He lives in you the moment you're saved. That's partly why you feel so different. Do you remember the moment you got saved? The moment your sins were forgiven? Do you remember that feeling? Now, salvation is not a feeling. It's a fact. It's a truth that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I will say this, it pretty much comes with a feeling. Because at that moment, God Himself comes to live in you. It's incredible. And your sins are forgiven for eternity. But the moment you're saved, God comes and lives, and He empowers you to live the life. That's why you don't do works for Christ before you're saved. You can't. He's not living in you yet. The moment you get saved, He empowers you, and then you begin to work and live the life that God's called us to live. That's what, after that is when you get baptized. After that is when you enjoy communion with your local church family. After that is when you start doing good works for God. But it's not so that you can earn salvation. It's because God has saved you, even though you don't deserve it and never will. And it's because He's helping you do it through the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit. And so Jesus says that you're going to receive power. That word literally is dynamo. All right? Dynamite. You're saved. You have the power of God in you. And He, listen, He will reach the world through you. That's what we're after. We want God to work through us. Valley Avenue Baptist Church needs Christ to work through us. And that's through the power of the Holy Spirit, which lives in each of us, you see. And oftentimes, I'll say this isn't the message. We'll talk more about this later. I'm getting way ahead of myself. But I will say this. Oftentimes, the Holy Spirit is working so much in us and trying to get us to surrender to Him and trying to get us to obey Him that He has a hard time working through us. So we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit and then allow Him to work through us. And when we do that, we'll reach the world. We'll reach the world. That's the plan. And so Jesus says, you wait there in Jerusalem. I will send you the Spirit. And what's incredible about that is up until this point, if you wanted to follow Christ, you had to literally follow bodily Christ because He wasn't living in you at that point. But when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, you can follow Christ wherever you are. Amen? And churches can then spread. If you wanted to be part of Christ's church, you had to follow Christ around. What is a church? A church is a gathering of people. A local gathering of people. It's not universal. The church is not everyone who's saved. That's not what the Bible says. A church is a gathering of specific believers doing the work of Christ. And so if you wanted to do that when Jesus was on this earth, you had to physically follow Him around. That was the first church. But now that the Holy Spirit has indwelt us, He can lead us wherever we are. And churches can then spread and be started all over the world. So the church was empowered, you see. Jesus said that would happen. And so then after they had been taught by Christ, and after they had been empowered by the Spirit, now they were ready to be witnesses. Now they're ready to be witnesses. Now, that's not what the apostles thought at first. So Jesus said, I'm going to send the Spirit. I'm going to give you the promise of the Father. Now look at verse 6. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? What? Hold on. Apostles. Woo, hello. You're missing it. But they're asking Christ, okay, is it time to set up the kingdom now? Is it time for the millennial reign? That's what they thought Jesus was talking about here. Why did they say all that? Well, because they had heard Jesus talking about the promise of the Father. And the millennial kingdom has been promised to Israel for thousands and thousands of years. In fact, first century Israel, that's what they were looking for. They were looking for the Messiah to come and to set up the kingdom right then. And to take over the world and to destroy Rome and set up His kingdom on earth. But Jesus said, it's not time for that yet. It's not time for that yet. It's not time to set up the kingdom yet. That will come after the rapture. That will come after the tribulation. If you're here for Sunday school, that's the millennial reign. That comes later. It's not time for that. Because here's what that also means. Before God sets up his kingdom, God's going to judge the earth. God's going to judge the earth for 7 years, the time of Jacob's trouble. For Revelation 6 through 19 is when God judges the earth. And God cannot set up his kingdom on this earth until he judges it first. And Jesus says, no, it's not time for that. It's not time yet for God to judge the earth and pour his wrath on the earth. No, it's not time for the nations. It's not time for Rome, he would tell them, to face God's wrath yet. No, actually, it's time for the nations to hear about salvation. That's the time we live in today. It was time for them to be witnesses of Christ. And it's time for us to be witnesses of Christ. They needed to take the gospel from Jerusalem to all Judea and Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus said in verse 7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. The times or the seasons means that tribulation time, the events of Revelation, the events of Daniel, the events of other Joel and others who talk about the tribulation of God and the judgment of Christ. He said, it's not time. You don't need to know when that all is going to happen right now. You don't need to worry about when that's all going to happen. That's up to the Father. Jesus said, you don't need to know when I'm going to come back and establish my millennial kingdom. Here's what you need to worry about, church. You need to worry about continuing what I started until I come back. That's what Jesus said. You keep spreading the gospel until I come back. And when he comes back, friends, when Jesus comes back, he's not going to come back as a baby in a manger to be the Savior of the world. No, when he comes back, he's going to come on a white horse and he's going to judge the world. And as many people as possible need to hear about that before he comes back, you see. That's what Jesus has called us to do. We need to reach the world with the gospel. We need to tell the world what Jesus has done. We need to be witnesses of what we've experienced, witnesses of the fact that we were sinners and we were deserving of God's wrath, but we called on Christ to save us and our sins have been forgiven, and we want to tell the world about that. That's what Christ has called us to do. And we need to do that with fervency. Why? Because Jesus can come back anytime. And when he does, that's when the kingdom will start. That's when he'll set up his kingdom. But right now is the time to be witnesses. It's the time to be witnesses. And after he gave them the command, he was taken up to heaven. Look at verse 9. Now we said the verse 8 is the command we talked about, spreading the gospel throughout the world. In verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. So he was being lifted up into the clouds. In verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And so there, Jesus gave the command. He said, I'm leaving. I want you to reach the world. I want you to be a witness of me until I come back. And then he starts to leave. And he starts ascending to heaven. And the apostles are just watching him. They're steadfastly looking up. Okay. Just watching. Have you ever had like a balloon with helium and just let it go and just watch? That's about how it was. Jesus began to ascend into heaven and everyone's just looking up. Remember the eclipse a few years ago? And everyone's just looking up. I have pictures of that. And I said, man, the rapture is about to happen. You know, they're all looking up. And so they're all standing there staring into the sky, watching Jesus leave. Okay? I love what the angels say to them. There's two angels, they're in heaven, you know, that means in the sky there, and Jesus is, he's parted the clouds, you can't see him anymore, they're still looking up. And the two angels are like looking down, and they said this in verse 11, which said also, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So they're like, guys, what are you looking up here for? Didn't you hear what he just said? You've got work to do. You don't have time to stand up and look into heaven. He's going to come back. And before he comes back, you need to reach the world. Get going. Start working. He'll come back. But until then, you just keep doing what he told you to do. You keep doing what he started. So in a sense, they're saying, don't look steadfastly into heaven. You need to continue steadfastly what Jesus began. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do until he comes back. And that's exactly what they did. They took the gospel throughout Jerusalem, then to Judea and Samaria, and then they began to take the gospel to the Gentiles through Cornelius, and then primarily through the Apostle Paul, they took the gospel to Asia Minor, and then finally to Rome, and they continued steadfastly what Jesus began. But here's the thing. He's not come back yet. Has Jesus come back yet? Nope. And so what are we supposed to do? Well, we're called to continue. Amen? We need to continue what they continued. They continued what Jesus began, and now we continue to continue what Jesus began. You see? That's what we're up to here. We're part of something pretty incredible. We're part of God's plan that has started 2,000 years ago, and as Valley Avenue Baptist Church, we have the privilege to be a part of continuing what Jesus began. And continuing what Jesus began starts in Jerusalem. Continuing what Jesus began starts in Jerusalem. Look at verse 12, very next verse. Then returned they unto what? Jerusalem. They got right to it. And they went to Jerusalem. And they started continuing. Yeah. By the way, that's exactly what Jesus told them to do. Look at Luke, if you don't mind. You can probably lose your spot here in Acts. Go to Luke 24. The very end of Luke. So if you hit John, just flip back a little bit. Luke 24. Right at the end, as Jesus, you know, he's risen from the dead and he's talking with them. Luke 24, verse 46 says, and Jesus, he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. This is the gospel, right? And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. There it is, right? He said, you need to take the gospel. You need to preach. You need to preach repentance and remission of sins throughout all nations. And then he says, beginning at what? Jerusalem. It begins at Jerusalem. It all started there. And listen, continuing what Jesus started starts in our Jerusalem. It starts here. We're called to reach the world. And that's done through worldwide missions. We'll talk about that. But all of that starts with us in our Jerusalem. We're called to reach the world with the gospel. Now, we can't be in every nation all at one time, can we? We don't have enough members for that. And then if we did that, who would be here? We can't do that. But here's what we can do. We can send missionaries to go to other nations. That's what we're all about. That's what Faith Promise Missions is all about. When you give to missions, we support missionaries, and they take the gospel to England and to Germany. And we had a missionary in Sri Lanka and all over the place. The Czech Republic, Alaska, all over the world, we're sending people. That's what missions is all about. And the main way that we can be physically involved with reaching all nations is through Faith Promise Missions. And that's what this card's all about. That's what this card is all about. We need to be in prayer about how God would have each of us individually to be involved with Faith Promise Missions. That means you get alone with God and you ask God, God, how would you like for us to actually give financially to support missionaries throughout the world? Yeah. That's the primary way that we can be involved physically. But we can all be in prayer, right? We all need to be in prayer for our missionaries. Listen, prayer's huge. Prayer's huge. That's when missionaries come through and they present their field and they show their video and, you know, they're asking us to support them financially. But you know what they always say? What we really need? We really need your prayers. Because here's the thing. Without God and without God's help, these missionaries would be totally wasting their time. They need God to help them as they preach. They need God to soften hearts and bring conviction to those people in England and in Germany and in the Czech Republic and all throughout the world, Japan. They need God to provide for them. And by the way, that's part of what we get to do as we support missionaries. We provide for them. They need God to protect them. And you can be a part of all of that through prayer. But again, the main way you can physically be involved with sending missionaries throughout the world is through giving. It's through giving through Faith Promise missions. And again, that's not something we came up with. It's a biblical truth, a biblical reality. Paul was the first missionary. Paul was sent from, I like to call it Antioch Baptist Church. Amen? The Jerusalem Baptist Church started Antioch Baptist Church. Okay? And sent Barnabas there. And Paul was there and some others. And then God called Barnabas and Saul, who would later become Paul, to be the first missionaries. And they went throughout the world and they planted churches, right? With the authority of the church at Antioch. We can't just go do this on our own. Remember, it's the church. Churches are God's plan. And so churches are started by other churches. That's how we spread. And so through the authority of Antioch Baptist Church, they were sent out as missionaries. Okay? And then churches like the church at Philippi gave to support Paul. Paul said in Philippians 4:17, he said, not that I desire a gift. He said, you've given to me, time and again it says, and you've given to my work and supported me, not because I want a gift, but what I desire, that fruit may abound to your account. So Paul said, as you give to me and support me, so I don't have to work a job, I can be out here preaching the gospel, as I'm preaching and as souls are being saved all throughout Asia Minor, Paul said, that's fruit that abounds to your account. You get to be a part of what I'm doing through giving. This is a biblical thing. We don't just make up stuff around here. We just do what the Bible says. And so each of us then need to be in prayer about how God would have us to be involved with reaching the world through Faith Promise missions. And as each of us commit to give, then we'll collect all the cards. Again, there's no name on this, totally anonymous. It's between you and God. And everybody will decide through prayer and through God's leadership how God would have them be involved that year, this coming year. We'll take the cards, we'll add them up, and we'll know as a church how we can be involved with sending missionaries throughout the world. This is Faith Promise missions. And you might say, but Brother Chad, I can't give as much as somebody else. Well, it doesn't matter what everybody else is giving. That's not what you're praying about. Lord, please help the rest of our church family to give a lot of money to missions. That's not it. No, we pray and ask God, God, how would you have me and my family be involved? And every little bit counts. And God will bless as each of us get involved with Faith Promise missions. So just be in prayer about that. It's between you and God. So you are called, if you're wondering, yes, you are called to be involved with reaching the world through prayer, and you are called to reach the world through giving the missions, Faith Promise missions. But listen, but reaching the world starts where? In Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. God's plan is to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the innermost parts of the earth. In Jerusalem, that was the area that they were in. It was their city. They needed to reach their city. And then they'll send missionaries somewhere else, and that missionary can reach his city. And they'll send missionaries somewhere else, and they'll start a church, and that church can reach their city. And so we need to send churches to other cities, but it really all starts with us reaching our Jerusalem. God has called us first to reach Falls City, and Humboldt, and Powhatan, and Rulo, and Salem, and Schubert, and Stella, and Sabetha, and Hiawatha, and the country roads out here. We're called to reach our Jerusalem. We can't personally reach the entire world, but we can personally reach this area for Christ, and we're called to. And as you see people on the street, as you see people in the grocery store, in the gas station, at work, at daycare, at school, you need to see them as more than just faces in your day. More than just people in your way. They're living souls. Every time you see a person, you need to think about it this way. That person will live forever somewhere. We need to think that way. They will die one day, and when they do, they will spend eternity somewhere. And listen, Jesus died for them. Jesus' desire is that that person lives forever with Him. It doesn't matter who they are, it doesn't matter what they've done, it doesn't matter if you like them or not. God loves them, and He wants them to be saved. He wants them to be saved. He died for them so they can live forever. Do they know that? That's the question. Jesus did die for them. The question is, do they know that? Do they know about what Jesus said? Repentance and remission of sins. Do they know that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Do they know that they can't work their way to heaven? Do they know that their baptism did not save them? Do they know that all it takes is calling out to Christ by faith and their sins can be forgiven? Do they know that? We're called to tell them. It's our job. It's like Brother Tim always says, right? If we don't tell them, who will? God has called us to reach our Jerusalem. So you can do that personally. You can be involved through Walk a Block. That's another way. We made that available to you. We'll say a little bit more about that at the end of the church, but that's the way, one way that as a church family that we can reach our city for Christ. It's important for you to personally reach those who you know. Personally, each of us, affecting those who we know. There's people at your work I'll never talk to. There's people in your family I'll never talk to, or at least won't have an influence on. You have that influence, and God's given that to you, and you're called to reach those people personally. But it's also good, as a church family, that we reach our Jerusalem. Walk a Block is a way we can do that. But listen, it all starts with our Jerusalem. And so, this morning, ask God how you can be a part of reaching the nations. You need to begin praying that way. Be in prayer about how God would have you be involved. And there's no pressure with this. This is not between you and me at all. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And we ought to be involved with reaching the world. And so you be in prayer about that. On the 17th of September, we'll pass these cards out. And hopefully by then you'll kind of know what God has you to do. And we can be ready to plan out and do what God has called us to do as a church to reach the world. But it all starts here with asking God how you can be a part of reaching your Jerusalem. Pray for our Jerusalem. Ask God how you can be a witness, a testimony to your family, to your friends, to your co-workers. Ask God to open doors so you can talk to people about the gospel. Ask God how you can be involved with Walk a Block if God's leading you that way. However it looks for you, here's what I do know God wants you to do. He wants you to be involved with reaching the world, and He wants you to be involved with reaching your Jerusalem. It's God's plan. It's God's plan. And we get to be a part of it. Amen? And we get to affect the souls of men. There's only two things that last forever and ever. It's the Word of God, and it's the souls of men. Everything else will perish. And so we need to be about telling men, telling ladies, telling children, Jesus died for them, and God is not willing that any should perish. But all have come to repentance. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Hey, that's what the lost is looking toward. Perishing forever. But instead have everlasting life. That's the passion of our Savior. That's what He started. And that's what we have the privilege to continue doing. We love you, Lord. Thank you so much for letting us be in your house this morning. Thank you, God, for your word and the clarity of it. Thank you, God, for the privilege it is that we could get to be a part of what you started all those years ago, reaching people with the gospel. Lord, both here in our Jerusalem and then in Judea and in Samaria and all the way to the uttermost parts of the earth, we get to be involved with what you're doing. Thank you for that privilege. Help us, God, each of us, to know how you want us to be involved. Lord, I pray that each member of our church will get with you and sincerely ask how you would have them, Lord, give and be involved with worldwide missions, and how you would have them to be involved with reaching people in their lives. Lord, and if there's one here today that hasn't been reached, Lord, that they're still on their way to hell forever, Lord, that never had their sins forgiven, I pray that you'd help them to see their need this morning, and that they'll come to this altar and ask about how to be saved from their sins. Lord, we love you. Christ is my prayer. Amen. Let's all stand together.